Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you for joining us once again as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're going to continue in this broadcast going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We've left off, we've been looking at verse number 3 over the last couple episodes, which says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And we've been looking at these three things that the Apostle Paul has been holding up this local assembly as being the pattern for how it is that the members of the body of Christ should be focusing. And here we're going to start with this issue of the patience of hope. Now, as the Apostle Paul is talking about this, he's making a reference to the hope that the members of the body of Christ has. Now, as he brings up this issue of the hope, he starts with this issue of patience. And patience is something that all members of the body of Christ is supposed to have in their life. Now, if we go over here to the book of Galatians, let's go to Galatians chapter number 5. And we're going to see here the Apostle Paul making a reference to the issue of the fruits of the Spirit here that the members of the body of Christ have. And we see here, it says in verse 22 of Galatians 5, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, as you see the Apostle Paul making a reference to this, you see that he calls it the fruit of the Spirit is. So, the idea that most people have when they look at this passage is they look at it as almost a thing of the fruits of the Spirit are, and that each one of these things that the Apostle Paul's listing off here is a separate fruit that a member of the body of Christ is supposed to have. And in that way, what they can do is they can start to pick and choose which one of those that they actually want to display in their life, and then just say, "Well, I'm working on the other ones." Where what the Apostle Paul is really saying is that the fruit of the Spirit is, and that all of these things, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, and the temperance, all of that is all part of that one fruit of the Spirit, and is all present inside of the member of the body of Christ once they put their trust in the gospel and the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and putting their belief in that and that alone for their salvation. Once that's occurred, the member of the body of Christ has access to that entire fruit package, and the access that comes as the person intakes the Word of God. So as they study the Word of God rightly divided, apply the doctrine to their lives, all of these things start to manifest themselves in them. And one of these things is that long suffering, which is truly a measure of patience that the members of the body of Christ have. Now, when we really look at, you know, when you say, how can that truly be a demonstration of that? You can see that idea of the long-suffering, for example, when you look at the relationship between God the Father and the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, where Israel messed up over and over again, you know, related to their following of the law, from the point even when it was going to be given and they said, "We're going to keep every part, you know, we'll do exactly what it is that you say." And as the law is being given, they're already breaking that law by making the golden calves and worshiping these false idols. You see the nation of Israel failing to actually do what God's word actually says. And that's really what the story actually shows. You see how he even talks about in the book of Judges, where it ends with the fact that everybody is doing what they feel is good. They're not doing the things of God's word. And yet, God the Father has a true plan for them and doesn't punish the nation as to pour out the wrath that has been promised because the time wasn't appropriate. He has to wait until the exact time the whole prophetic program lays out. So you see that demonstration of that long suffering, that patience to wait. Now, American society is really designed to not have that idea of patience. Everything in our society is truly designed to have that instant gratification that people are looking for. You know, just about everything seems to have a drive-through now, so that way you don't even have to get out of your car, and it's supposed to make it that much quicker for you to do whatever it is that you're trying to do. You know, you have, you know, almost everything can be thrown in a microwave to cook, so that way, you know, within seconds or a minute, you can have your meal and be eating rather than having to wait for something to be cooked on a stove. Patience is really something that God is saying that the members of the body of Christ should have. Now, when we see the idea of that patience coming through, I want to go over here to Romans chapter number 5. Because you're going to see the Apostle Paul talk about how that patience actually comes about for individuals. And that patience, with, you know, tying in what we've just been talking about, that long suffering, that measure of patience here. Let's look here in Romans chapter number 5. And we're going to read here the first 5 verses of the chapter. And it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So we see the Apostle Paul talk about how there's an issue of us glorying in our tribulations, which means we glory in the problems that we're facing in our lives, which, you know, that's a hard concept for most individuals to really grasp and say that that's something that we're supposed to be doing, to have this, you know, glorying in facing the problems that come up in our lives. But we glory in those things because we have the understanding of the fact that the tribulations that we face, that tribulation worketh patience. So all of those problems bring about the patience that the member of the body of Christ has, and that ties in with that long suffering. And we know that because the life we're living here on this earth, you know, where Israel had all this promise of having these physical blessings if they were doing the right thing, the members of the body of Christ are not promised that. We endure certain things during this lifetime, knowing that all of those problems that we face, the end result of that is going to work a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, and that there is a good thing that comes about for us as the members of the body of Christ, knowing that, you know, even if we live to be 100 years old, that this life is nothing compared to the eternity that we're going to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places. And that's why the end result of it is that it eventually leads to that hope, because we have the understanding of the hope that has been promised to us, the members of the body of Christ. So that tribulation, those problems bring about that patience, that patience brings about that experience, and that experience comes about because we know that we're going to be able to get through whatever those problems are that we face in our lives, and that the end result of it is going to be that eternal weight of glory, and the fact that we're going to have that glory is the hope that comes about from the experience that we have. Now, when we truly look at that hope that we have, and that's why it's that patience of hope, that hope is something that's unique to this dispensation, and it has nothing to do with the promises that had been made to the nation of Israel, to where they were promised that they were going to inherit a kingdom that was going to be upon the earth, that the 12 tribes are going to rule over all the nations of the world, that the seed of David was going to be sitting on the throne, ruling for all of eternity, all of it being a physical promise of a kingdom that was going to be established here on planet Earth. Now, all of that, it runs very contrary to everything that is promised to the members of the body of Christ, because we have a unique hope where instead of a thing of having all these promises of physical blessings, we know that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And so when we have that understanding, we can see the hope that the Apostle Paul's talking about here. Let's go over to the book of Titus. Go here to Titus chapter number 2. And we're going to read here a passage where the Apostle Paul is going to be making a reference to the hope that the members of the body of Christ has. And here we'll start at verse number 11 of Titus chapter 2. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee." Now, we see here the Apostle Paul talking about the issues of the grace of God here. And when he's talking about the grace of God, we know that he's making a reference to the information that has been given to him, the information related to the dispensation of the grace of God. So when it talks about, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men," and we already know that this is contrary to what we see written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because you can read in the book of John where it starts talking about how salvation is of the Jews. You read about in Matthew when he's commissioning the 12 apostles, he sends them out only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, trying to bring Israel into that right standing to fulfill all of the promises that have been made to them as a nation. We see the Apostle Paul talk about the fact that the grace of God which that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So the information, that gospel that's been laid out, we already mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4, that message is given to all men, so all men have access to receive that salvation, the grace of God. You know, once somebody receives that salvation, the next piece of it is what we see in verse 12, that practical piece of the doctrine where it talks about teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the issue of that, the grace of God, the doctrine that's laid out in Romans through Philemon, all of that information, not only does it bring the salvation that's needed for the individual, but it starts dealing with, as he's making a reference here, the practical sanctification of the believer, giving the believer the information on what it is that they're not supposed to do, but also gives the believer the information on what they should do in their life. So the idea of exactly what it is that God intends for the individual, so that way that they know how it is that they're supposed to live their life and be pleasing unto God. The only way to be pleasing is applying the doctrine that has been given to us. And in fact, we can look at, I'm going to give an example here of how the Apostle Paul can give some information that reflects on this. And I'm going to read here over in, this is Ephesians chapter number 4, and we'll read verse 28, which says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So you see the issue of the Apostle Paul talking about what it is that a person shouldn't do, the fact that they should not steal. So ties in with exactly what the Apostle Paul says in the first part of verse 12 of Titus chapter 2, and says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So the idea of, you know, you're not to steal, because that's the ungodliness and worldly lust that come about with that. But instead we're to labor, we're to work, so that way we can have money, so that way we can be able to give to those that need. And that's the issue of living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the Apostle Paul, as he lays out that doctrine and gives us those practical points in his epistles, gives us this information on how it is that we're to live our life. But then he also ties in and continues on this thought process, verse 13, when it says, looking for that blessed hope. So there's a hope that the members of the body of Christ are looking for. And that hope is separate from the issue, because he says we're looking for our hope, and also says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have a hope, which we're going to get into and talk about exactly what that hope is. And that hope is, you know, it's not the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's going to be tied in with the issue of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ to come back for the church, the body of Christ. And then he starts getting into the issue of how the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. Now, the events, as he's talking about the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that event, and I want to go over here, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul actually describe this event. And when we get to chapter 4, we'll talk about more of the details that are in this passage. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, let's start in verse number 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." So we're going to continue on in this passage, but he's talking about how there's individuals who don't have a hope, and those individuals who don't have a hope, the issue is that there's sorrow that they have because they truly lack the hope that we have an understanding of. Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, we can see how that those words truly are a comfort, because we see that we have this promise of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back for the body of Christ. And this is an event that theologically is called the rapture, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul is going to use a phrase, and we're going to look at that, you know, probably in our next episode, where he uses the phrase the day of Christ to truly describe the event that we call the rapture. But there's a catching out of the saints, and the catching out of the saints occurs before God pours out his wrath upon planet Earth, because the promise we have is that we are not appointed to wrath. But we know that we have that promise that he's going to come back for us. So even if we die before this event occurs, we know that we're still going to be part of that event. And that's why it truly can be a hope. That's why it can be a comfort for us when we read about these things, because we know that even if we have a loved one who dies and they've put their trust in the gospel, we know that this event is waiting for them, and we're going to be with them in the heavenly places for all of eternity. And we know that we have that guarantee of that promise. If we go over here to the book of Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 1. And we're going to see here where the Apostle Paul talks about that promise that we have here. We read verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter number 1. It says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." So we see that we have that promise of where once we've trusted, after that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So after we've heard the message that's laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses, after that has occurred, we see that we have the promise that we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the Spirit, you know, one part of the Godhead, is actually the seal that keeps us as a member of the body of Christ. So that way we can have the promise that we are kept as a member of the body of Christ until the redemption of the purchased possession. So until he comes back for the church, we have the promise that we're kept in the body of Christ. So that way, when he made that promise, we read back in Titus, where it talked about how he paid the penalty for all of iniquity. There is nothing that an individual can do once they have put their trust in the gospel. There's nothing that a person could do that could undo the salvation that has been done. So there's no issue of, you know, somebody committing a sin that would pull them away from being a member of the body of Christ. There's nothing of where, you know, I lost my faith, or I backslid, or any of the other things that individuals try to come up with to say that they've lost their salvation and then they have to, you know, be saved again. The Word of God actually says that we have that promise that we're sealed until the day of redemption. You know, that's such a glorious thing to truly think about, the fact that we have that promise, we have that hope, and that should be such a liberating thing for us, that we don't have to worry about the fact that we could lose our salvation and do something to pull us away, because the Spirit, you know, there's nothing that could actually break the, you know, part of the Godhead that's keeping us there. There's nothing that could occur that would break that. So if there's nothing that could break that, we have a guarantee that we are going to be part of that redemption, that we're going to be part of the coming back thing, that hope that we have. And we're going to describe exactly what that hope is at the very beginning of our next episode, because the Apostle Paul is going to very clearly define what that hope is when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and you continue on through that chapter and you can see that there's some things related to that hope. Now I'm going to read a verse here that, you know, this isn't going to be part of where we're going to start next time, but just to kind of give an idea of the thought process that the Apostle Paul has over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read here verse number 19, which says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." And you think about that. If this is all that we have, you know, if this life is it, you know, we would truly be miserable. But when we think about the glory that is promised to us as the members of the body of Christ, that's where we can truly have, and going back to that fruit of the Spirit, that joy that God wants us to display. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have your information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study. We have information about how you could log on to Facebook and watch our Sunday services being played live. And as always, we would love to hear from each and every one of you, whether you know it's by phone, whether it's by email, you know, any of the methods of communication. Please feel free to contact us if you ever have any questions or comments, either about anything that's on the website or anything you hear on these broadcasts or in our other studies that we do. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.